We're going to be briefly looking at the Acts passage on page 122. So let's just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for ascension. Thank you that you, your Son, is ascended in the heavens and is sat at your right hand interceding for us. Thank you for all that the ascension means. Help us as we look at it briefly to understand what it means for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Ascension Day, it's a really important day in the Christian calendar, and it's one that's often overlooked. And it's important because of what it marks. Jesus' ascension into heaven at the right hand of the Father. And Luke, who also wrote the Acts of the Apostles, here concludes Jesus' earthly ministry in his first volume for Theophilus, and now he starts his second volume here in Acts with the same event. So he finishes the Gospel of Luke and starts Acts of the Apostles with the same event. So Jesus continues his ministry from heaven through the Holy Spirit, which is about to come at Pentecost. So did it really happen? Did this really happen? You know, there are some who will just not accept that this happened at all. And it's worth looking at because we come across those who will argue it's rubbish, that this is a fairy story. There will be those who will say the virgin birth, the resurrection, the miracles, and even Jesus himself did not exist. They'll say it's all rubbish. And you know, they believed all that stuff in those days. You know, they're not sophisticated like we are. They're primitive. How arrogant. These men, these first believers, were not stupid. They were not gullible. They were not primitive. And the gospel accounts bear testament to their questioning and their doubting and grappling with who Jesus was and his claims. The honesty in the gospels is evident. And they were desolate at Jesus' crucifixion. And they disbelieve the resurrection. Thomas being an example. But something changed. And so-called clever theologians, even in our universities, would have us believe that this never happened, that it was a myth, that it was made up, that it was some kind of something symbolic or even poetry. But we must reject this. The ascension, according to Luke, is literal, is historic, and it matters. And the ascension is assumed to be factual in the rest of the New Testament. It's mentioned in Luke, in John's Gospel. Peter mentions it in his Pentecost sermon. He says, Jesus exalted to the right hand of God. He confirms it in his letter. The letter to the Hebrews as well is unambiguous about the ascension. And Luke's account here is really straightforward, without any ridiculous embellishments. It's very down to earth. It's not poetry, it's not symbolism, it's just raw facts as they happened. Luke intends us to read this as history. And Luke also repeatedly refers to eyewitnesses who were there. They saw it in verse 9. Can you see that? When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing upwards to heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward the heavens? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So five times in this passage, in this very brief passage, it's mentioned that the ascension took place visibly. Luke wants us to understand that it happened. And when they chose somebody in place of Judas as an apostle, they chose somebody who'd seen the whole of Jesus' ministry. If you just pop into verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us. The other thing is that if Jesus rose from the dead, where did he go? Did he hide? There was no body, which could have been produced to disprove the resurrection. But there wasn't, because he rose. And so the resurrection happened, the ascension happened. And the risen Jesus was seen. He ascended, as Luke tells us. And Jesus also wants us to understand in his visible ascension that he's gone for good. There will be no more resurrection sightings. This was final. They were now to expect the Holy Spirit to come. And he would only come when Jesus was gone. Verse 4. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So now they could get on with their ministry, their mission of telling the good news with the power of the Holy Spirit, which was to come shortly. The Holy Spirit would give them the power and the courage to speak. And so the apostles return to Jerusalem as instructed and wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. And the men in white told them in verse 11, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking upwards towards heaven? Don't be sky scanners. Don't be stargazers. Look to the earth and go and tell. Let him go. He will be back," in verse 11. "Jesus, this Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. He'll be back as he went in his own good time. In the meantime, you have a mission. You have a ministry. And we do too. And he'll be back in the very same cloud in which he was enveloped." Jesus said to him, said so himself in Luke 21. And so did the prophet Daniel too. The cloud being the very presence of God Almighty himself. The big difference was that only 11 people saw him go, but every eye will see him return. And in the meantime, we are called to be his witness. Not to look to the sky, not to be standing there looking inward, but be looking outward in compassion to a lost world that is in desperate need. So we shouldn't be obsessed with his second coming. We have a job to do. History's littered, isn't it, with predictions of when he's going to come. They're all failed. No, we get on with our mission. They got on with their mission, proclaiming in the power of the Holy Spirit the good news of Jesus Christ. And what Jesus has accomplished are two achievements. First, dying as a substitute in our place. As in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. And secondly, the Messiah ascending and there being a pause until he comes again to judge, to put down evil. So it's the same Messiah, two comings. That's how it works. The first coming and the second coming. And the prophecies say that. So he will come again to judge evil. And that's what a lot of people are thinking about at the moment, isn't it? That great evil that was perpetrated on Monday night. There will be an accounting of every evil act. And it's just as well for all of us that there is a first coming. Because we would all be swept away. So there's forgiveness first, the mercy of God, then the judgment. And it's worth remembering it. That our forgiveness is received once and for all. It's so complete that we cannot be exposed to the result of judgment. If our sin has already been wiped away and dealt with, it's gone, it's finished. So why is the ascension important for us? Well, Jesus is still human. He's taken our humanity with him into the Holy of Holies, right into the presence of God where he lives. And that God-man is everlastingly human as well as eternally divine. He approaches the unapproachable for us and stands before the presence of a holy God on our behalf. There is now a man in heaven, a human being in heaven who is also God. And that gives massive significance for us as human beings. He's our priest and he's praying for us. Christ alive and ascended to that glorious position. He's our heavenly guarantee. Our guarantee of a future existence. Death is not the end. Where he is, we too will be, certainly, one day. He says so in his gospel, in John's gospel. I go to prepare a place for you. I am the resurrection and the life. My glory I give to them. His glory he gives to us. And in Colossians, so if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And in Ephesians, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. The ascension is our future too. By God's grace. It matters. Don't miss it.